Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Have you watched this?
What would you say is the message?
I coach boys how to make money.
Wow, this is a nice spot.
How to be outside the system. How to be proper guys.
Shut up or nut up.
I was entering the manosphere, a wild frontier of streamers whose behaviour is reshaping the culture, whose appeal has proved irresistible to hordes of young fans.
Do you consider yourself a misogynist?
I love women and I actually understand them.
You think you know better than they do?
They want a guy that can lead them and dominate them.
So this is Louis Theroux's Inside the Manosphere. It's the new documentary on Netflix, probably likely to be the most talked about show over the course of the weekend. And it raises questions around toxic masculinity, misogyny, and I have no doubt will leave parents wondering how you're going to better protect your teenage sons and daughters, by the way. Irish Times columnist Jen Hogan, mum of seven, is with me here on the programme. Jen, is it essential viewing for every parent?
I think it is, Andrea. I watched it yesterday, and I mean, it's something that I've been looking into and talking about for a long time. But even watching it as somebody with a huge interest in that area, I was surprised at the number of people I wasn't aware of. And I think that's why it's so important for parents to watch it. I think we're all aware of the Andrew Tate. I think that's a name that everybody's heard of. It's probably a name that's been mentioned to our sons in particular, because we're conscious of his target market and the message that he promotes to boys.
You there, Jen? Sorry, just one second. Sorry, just lost you there for a moment. But yeah, effectively, this isn't really about Andrew Tate at all. This is more about Tate's mates, isn't it?
Absolutely. This is about the whole new crowd of misogynistic content creators who are putting out incredibly toxic messages showing absolute disrespect to men, promoting towards women. It's sickening, really, to watch. I think it's very hard viewing as a parent, but I think it's essential because.
Do you know, Jen, I'm just going to try to reconnect with you there, just with your phone line. Bear with us for a moment. It's 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number. If you're a parent, even if you're not, we'd love to know, have you actually had a chance to watch it? I only got to watch the documentary last night. It's about an hour and a half long. Well worth your time. Dr. Richard Hogan, family psychotherapist, is with me here on the line today. Richard, what was your reaction?
I think it's probably a bit late, to be honest, Andrea. This has been going on for a long time. And as
well,
Jen
it's not
said,
the first doc of its kind.
No, it's not. And this has been going on for a long time. The recommender systems feeding our kids, particular boys, particular views that are quite clickbaity, rage-baity, sensationalism, propagating ideas about women, getting in there to our kids' psychology at very young ages and just kind of like disrupting it. And we have to be better as policymakers and as parents and as people who are, involved with teenagers and teenage boys. I think we've let them down significantly over the last number of years. I think we've vilified them over the last number of years. I think we have to start kind of getting the conversation back, and we have to start looking at like really positive role models and looking at what is very important, positivity around being a boy, because I think that conversation has been missing too. And I suppose it opened up this kind of space. I mean, this is just the market that Andrew Tate created, the Rosses and the Petersons and the Andrew Tates. They created this huge, huge money industry that is, speaking directly to the disillusioned boys. I suppose it's trying to figure out how do we get them back? How do we have pathways for them to connect with each other in a positive way? And how do we have positive role models that are male?
Yeah, it's funny. I remember, Richard, not that long ago, reading an email from a listener, a female listener, a mum actually of teenage boys who'd got in touch with us. And she joined us on the programme to tell us her story, because she said she found it very difficult to know what to tell her teenage boys to be. You know, that words like strong and independent and, financially secure and stable, and that all these words now nearly had kind of derogatory associations and connotations with them.
Absolutely. I mean, it's unreal stuff that what we've done. And I think boys don't know what the hell is up or down or what's right or wrong. And then you let, and then that opens up the space for these people to come in and to be very forthright and very clear. And some of what they say is just about how to kind of like succeed in life and how to be motivated and how to go to the gym, and which is all very normal. But then there's loads of stuff couched in there that is misogynistic in its viewpoint and all the rest of it. And it's troubling and all the rest, and views about wealth and dominance and power and all that kind of stuff. And so it's just, we just need to kind of like, you know, get this right and kind of recorrect it in our schools and talking to our boys, because I've heard it for so many years now working in schools, the impact that these guys have had. And I talk in schools all the time, and I put up the people like Andrew Tate, and I show clips of them talking and influencers talking. They don't have the power they once had. There's a lot of jeering now. 5 years ago, there would have been a lot of applauding for them, but now there's jeering. They see them for what they are, you know, the Conor McGregors and the Andrew Tates. They see them for what they are. But then there's always other actors who are going to come into this very lucrative space and
get
their children.
That's what a little bit of this is, perhaps in this particular documentary. It's kind of the new breed, or as Jen said.
Yeah.
It's the sort of the male maybe voices or Instagram accounts that you weren't aware of. It's, you'll hear a lot about Myron Gaines is one name, and Harrison Sullivan from the UK is another. Jen, one of the points I wanted to ask you about, though, like, women do feature in the documentary, but possibly one of the greatest criticisms of it is that they don't seem to feature all that much.
That's right, they don't. I mean, some of the influencers didn't want their partner to feature, though they came into it a little bit later and maybe talked about, got to give some suggestion about how they felt. One supported one of the influencers in terms of his traditional views and supported this idea of one-way monogamy. Another person, you could clearly see she was a little bit distressed about the whole setup and didn't really like where the conversation was going. But there isn't a huge amount of women's voices in the documentary. I don't know if I'm as hugely critical of that aspect of it, because I think one of the difficulties we have around trying to address things with boys is that we often bring it back to girls. And we absolutely have a massive issue where we need to support girls. You know, the consequences of this manosphere for girls and women, it's huge. But if we want to try and connect with the boys, maybe there's a space to just go after the boys and the men and talk to boys and men about how it's affecting them. I think the really concerning part with me, I know Richard's there talking and mentioned the likes of Tate and McGregor and other, I suppose, people that we might have concerns around their particular messaging. And maybe we're so focused on that we've missed the new people who are coming into the market and the easy sell that they give
to the problems
that boys are having.
The other reality about this, and it's more maybe for teenage girls and their parents out there, is that the trad wife is something that is a very popular phenomenon on social media and has been for some time.
And it's not just on social media, because a little while ago, myself and Patrick Frey, my colleague, we did a piece on TikTok. We went and spoke to young people, to girls and boys about this. And there's some admiration nearly for the trad wife life, this idea that maybe this is the easier life. Maybe this is something that we should aspire to. We heard this from young girls in Irish youth clubs and schools and different environments ourselves. We heard this directly from them. So they're very much aware of it, and they can see some benefits to it. And that was promoted in the documentary too. These are the sort of things I think that parents are missing, because we're not as aware. We're not where we should be. We're always one step behind. We think we've caught up. We think we're aware of some of the big players. But the problem, I would even say, I mean, I had a load of parents yesterday. I posted on social media that I thought every parent should watch this. And I got a lot of messages going, should I get my son to watch it? And I'm not sure that I would, because unless you had an older boy who was absolutely had his ideas very firm and certain around his place in the world and was recognised the misinformation and the toxicity of the messaging that they were promoting, I'd be slow to put them on the radar. Probably are possibly already there, but I wouldn't be putting them there on the radar.
Would you encourage parents of teenage boys and girls, Richard, to watch this?
For parents, yeah, I think it might be a bit illuminating for them to see what's out there, because I think a lot of us as parents, like myself and Jen, you know, when we're in the space, but there were some names there as I saw it, I was like, who the hell is this person? Just when I thought I had my hands around the thing, it's constantly shifting. There's always someone new coming along, you know what I mean? There's always something there.
Daniela McKenna is the project manager of the Rialto Youth Project. You work with a lot of teenage boys and young boys. Do you think they should watch a documentary like this, Daniela?
How you doing? I mean, I suppose it's much more layered, I think, than one documentary. You know, I think as Richard's saying about this being a long time coming, and that it's actually the exacerbation of social media that has really brought it into focus. But for us, what we would always talk about is that, you know, young men actually feel excluded from the space that talks about masculinity. So how do we create safer spaces for these conversations to happen? Because what we hear all the time, as Den might have said, is the vilifying of masculinity and this word toxic that gets mentioned. But actually, what we need to look at is the difference between masculinity and behaviour, and how that intersectional layers of masculinity can then inform the behaviour that comes with it. And if we start to drill down into that, then we can have a completely different conversation. Because for us as well, it's like, young men talk about the pressure to conform to the social expectation of what a real man is, and who decides what this real man is except the social construct of masculinity. So there's these stereotypes that go around, you know, this idea of wealth and this idea of status, particularly around status. So that's the stuff that needs to be deconstructed, that can't be done in documentaries.
How would you encourage parents this weekend to chat to their teenage boys about masculinity?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. It is about, so we've created a negative kind of narrative around what masculinity is. But like, very often, if you think about, say, male violence, and then it's that idea of male violence to other men or to themselves or to women or to all genders. But actually, when we've often drilled down around what does violence come from, it comes off from this idea of protection. What does protection come from? It comes from an idea of care. You know, so if you could really drill into the conversation and have that deep inquiry with young people, that's not policing them, because young people and adult males actually police each other about what masculinity is. And they use humour and they use other things to try and construct this narrative. And so what we need to do is completely take away that kind of the policing of it, the defencing of it, the blaming, the attacking, and start to have a conversation of what do you think masculinity should be, and how do you get to be part of that, you know, and look at that kind of intersectional lens as well around. So, you know, if you're thinking about masculinity, even with class, with sexuality, with gender expression, with race, all of these things, again, will impact the role of masculinity in young men and men's lives.
Finding the right role models to look up to. Like, this texter's got in touch to say, as a feminist and a mother of a young man in his 20s, I think we have to take personal responsibility for the toxic male influencers. Young boys and men have been so vilified, they feel that they've nowhere to turn. Another texter says, Andrew Tate and the likes of him are a monster of the modern media's own making. I'm 42 years of age, and ever since I was in my late teens and early 20s, I was made feel bad for being a man, from radio, TV and the internet. Thankfully, though, I have a brain and I didn't go down the Andrew Tate rabbit hole. James is with me on the line. James, you're a teacher. You watched the Inside the Manosphere documentary last night. What did you make of it?
I thought the thing that surprised me the most, and I'm talking to you from my classroom right now, the school is just after ending. I thought what was most striking about it for me was actually the scale, right? Like, I knew who Andrew Tate was. I had heard of HS Tiki Tucky. I had heard of Myron Gaines without ever really engaging with them or watching any of their content. But
did you just hear from the boys in the class, or how?
Well, I actually teach in a girls' school. So
okay, sorry.
I asked them, actually, after, you know, knowing I was going to talk on this here today, I asked them in the last hour, I asked my fifth years, so they're older as well, I asked them, did they know who any of these guys were? And they actually didn't. They had never heard of a single one of them.
Okay.
But what I found very surprising in the doc, or kind of what I thought was very intriguing in the documentary, was how many young fans the influencers have who meet them and want to have selfies taken with them and know all about them. And clearly that this is an ecosystem where competition is rife, as in, if, you know, let's say one of their heads rolls and they are cancelled, you know, beyond all relevance, it's a hydra. There are 10 others ready to come in and fill in that space and take more. And to me, they seem to have, you know, these influencers had to have almost like a cult-like following, and they had like cult leader-esque powers in how they were able to completely convince their followers of their message to the point of financially investing into their completely ruinous companies. What I thought, I suppose, you know, after listening to this conversation here, what struck me as an educator was, I think if anyone is one, you know, certainly I wouldn't, people should watch this with their sons and with their daughters.
Yeah.
I think it is really important that people sit down together to watch this, and that people pause it midway through and discuss, you know, parents pause it halfway through and say, like, look what he just said there. Look what they just said about these women. Look how disrespectful and how horrible that is. And even go right to the end where you see a moment, you know, I don't want to spoil it in as much as it is a piece of entertainment for people as well, but there is a bit at the end where one of the influencers is there with his mother.
That's right.
Louis Theroux is asking, you know, awkward, tricky questions, as is his style, and it is clear his mother does not like the answers that her son is given, but she doesn't stop him either. she is a bystander to this, and she enjoys probably some of the fruits of his labor as well. So they all need to, parents need to understand that they can communicate with their sons and daughters about this as well. It's not this is not a homework assignment. This is a family assignment.
Yeah, well, certainly a discussion that needs to be had. Just maybe, Richard, finally, on that point, and I know a lot of people may be home and over the weekend and meeting up with family. What is the best way to have kind of age appropriate conversations with teenagers about masculinity?
Absolutely. We should be celebrating masculinity. This is what I'm doing with boys when I'm talking. I might talk to 900 TY students with boys and girls. I'm trying to celebrate it and tell them, it's a very important thing to be a boy in the world. And I think that's right what your last contributor said there about the media and the image of boys out there that's been propagated out there that's really disillusioned them and scapegoated them. I think we need to celebrate them so that they feel connected to something. We have to show them what good masculinity is by how we role model that as dads, That's a really important thing. I think that's a so significant in children's lives that they see mom and dad together, or they see dad and dad or mom and mom, whatever, but that they see what good masculinity is. And so that they have a playbook in their head for what, a strong person looks like. And it's okay to go to the gym, and it's okay to take your creatine. It's okay to get strong and all that. That's fine. That's all very positive to build yourself up there. There's nothing toxic about that. And it's okay to be vulnerable, and it's okay to cry, and it's okay to express your feelings. That's all a part of a healthy human being. But dominating and demeaning and putting people down and seeing your only value in wealth, they're not the markers of masculinity. They're the markers of insecurity that I would see clinically working. So that's not anything positive. That's a very insecure person. And so we need to have those conversations in a very positive way, Andrea, because it's such an important thing to be a boy and to turn out to be a healthy man in the world.
Justin in Mayo has got in touch to say, if boys are teenagers by the time parents start talking to them about respect, it's far too late by then. Another listener tells me it's a sad time where women can be whoever they choose to be, but men can't. It would seem that the fight for equality has actually had the opposite effect, suggests this listener. And finally, another texter tells me, I'm sick of hearing that young men don't know how to be in today's world. Simply be respectful of everyone, male or female. Consider everyone as equal, but different. Hard work, and do the best that you possibly can. For the moment, Jen Hogan, Dr. Richard Hogan as well. Danielle McKenna there is from the Reality Youth Project, and James is a teacher. Thanks a million for getting in touch. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.